chapter 20, and we think about, I got this text and I got two other texts to read to you today as well. But in John chapter 20, the Bible said the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then comes Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and saw, and he saw, and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. And then the disciples went away unto their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? And she saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. And Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. And Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. The resurrection day. I'm just going to read this to you. In Acts chapter 1, verse 3, the Bible said, To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. You know, there's so many things that the resurrection means, and I was looking this time, and in looking at Acts, there was a 40-day period before his ascension that Jesus appeared to the disciples. I don't believe, the Bible doesn't say, and because of the way Acts 1:3 reads, he showed himself to them. I don't believe he appeared to anybody that wasn't a believer in the 40 days. I believe everybody that he appeared to was somebody that had trusted him already in his life. And so there was... you know, what exactly was the point? What, you know, why did Jesus show himself alive unto the disciples? Well, I think there was a transitional period that was going to take place from the time that Jesus walked as a human, in his bodily form, that they would view him from there and until how that we would view Christ today, and how they would even view him after his ascension. So the relationship was the same, but yet at the same time it was a different way there. So we see in our text as well, we see the very first thing, we see Mary, and it says, on the first day of the week. We know that to be Sunday. Sabbath was the last and Sunday was the first. But the first day of the week, why we worship on Sunday, that's the explanation right there. It was the resurrection day. On Saturday, he was still in the grave. But on Sunday, he was a resurrected Lord. And so the first day of the week, it was morning. It was early at the tomb. We've talked about this over the years. No doubt a restless night for all the disciples of Christ. Nothing happened like they thought it was going to. And so there was a restlessness that was about that. And but we see Jesus appeared, and he revealed himself to Mary the first thing, and revealed that. So we learned some things from that. Why did he do that? And the other disciples that we know, the Emmaus Road disciples, I'm going to talk about them, and then the disciples that same day. All of it happened on the same day. He revealed himself. Well, one thing that we see right off the bat with Mary, we see in verse 16, Jesus saith unto her, Mary. He called her by name. You know, we know this, that And what we get out of this is that Jesus knows each one of us by name. You know, I think in our minds sometimes that we psychologically, we just group everybody in a big pile and we think, well, I don't know how God can know each one of us individually. It's just like the saved people and the lost people, and he knows. It's a personal relationship that he knows what your name is. I mean, boy, that's an amazing thing. He knows my name. I mean, we sing a song, you know, he knows my name. We sing that. But, you know, we have to really, you know, start contemplating that. Think about that. You know, there's Jesus and Mary. They're there together. And what that means, there's an individuality of Jesus recognition. One, like I say, he doesn't know us as a lump. He knows us all. He knows you. He's known you before the foundation of the world. He knows you. And of course, Mary, she's not, you know, her mind, you've got to, I always put myself in the place of those people that think about, they think he's dead. I mean, they don't know what's going on. I mean, they're just thinking he's dead and that's it. And she's not, and so she's not really prepared to recognize him or see him. She's not thinking that. Of course, early in the morning, all kind of speculation. Well, it's kind of dim and she couldn't see clearly and all that. But that's probably some truth to that. But I think Jesus also worked it out. It wasn't dark when he walked with the Emmaus Road disciples and they didn't recognize him either, right? So I think that, you know, that there was a reason for that. And, you know, he asked her a few questions but then as soon as Jesus said Mary, he said her name. You know how you know a person's voice, right? Huh? There's people that you know and you can hear their voice and you know it's them. And he knew her name and she realized exactly who it was. Her heart suddenly overflowed, probably not only with every emotion you can think of. I mean, joy that he's standing there, unbelief even, that or doubt or wonder or how and all the things that would entail that. Well, see, we still have the same Christ today. And he knows each one of us by name. And he loves us individually. It's been said that if there was only one person that needed to be saved, he would have died on the cross for that one person. That's how individual our relationship is or should be with Jesus Christ. But what's he waiting for? You know, he's waiting for that searching heart. I mean, who did he reveal himself to first? The first person that was looking for him, that came down to the tomb, even though she was only looking for a body. I mean, if you're looking, if you're searching, I tell people all the time, how do you know? How do you know God is real? I'll tell you what, just look for him. Huh? Somebody said, well, the reason some people don't find Jesus for the same reason that a thief doesn't find the police. You know, they're not looking for him, right? This is the first hint that from now on, we see, well, in verse 17, it said, Jesus saith unto her, touch me not, for I'm not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I have ascended. I ascended unto my Father and your Father, unto my God and your God. When he said, don't touch me, that was the first hint that from now on she had to learn to know him as a spiritual presence rather than a bodily presence. It's the same for us today. It would be the spiritual touch that how we would have contact with Jesus from his ascension on. If Jesus came to us in a bodily form today, would it help us? Actually, it would probably not help us. It would probably have the opposite effect. We would start to believe that the physical presence of Christ is greater than the spiritual presence. It's not. We used to think, boy, it'd been neat to have been living in those days and walk around with Jesus and see how it was. It's not any different today. Matter of fact, it's even better today. Amen. Because when Jesus went somewhere else and the disciples didn't go when he was a man, he wasn't with them. But with us, we have Christ living within. Everywhere we go, he's with us. I mean, it's a greater, but see the focus. We're so visually oriented. We're so physically oriented on everything that we think, oh, we got to see it. We got to touch it. We got to hold it. Man, Thomas wouldn't believe until he got, you know, he had to touch him and see. And so what it is, it was been a distraction from this deeper fellowship and union that we actually have because of the resurrection. This is great stuff. Mary needed to learn that, and we need to learn it as well. Then we also see that Christ revealed our spiritual brotherhood. Look what he said, verse 17 again. He said, go to my brethren. This is what Jesus said, my brothers, my sisters. And say to them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Listen, this is a deeper truth than at first glance. You know, it's great to know that we're sons of God. But it's greater still to know that we are the sons of God even as Jesus is the Son of God. We're on the same plane. It's the same. He's the Son of God. We are the sons of God as well. Listen to this. Hebrews 2:11 says, for both he, Jesus, that sanctifieth, and they who are sanctified, us, are all of one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them, us, brethren. We're on the same standing as Jesus is with God the Father. We're sons. It means our standing and acceptance are complete in him, Jesus. It means when we pray in his name, it will be as even as if he were praying. That's, I told you, when I started thinking about, I don't think is God a long way off. I don't think it's God even standing close by, but I know that Jesus Christ, God the Son, is living in me through the person of the Holy Spirit. When I pray in here, not out there. He's here. And when I started thinking that as I pray, instead of thinking that God's in heaven and that God's just close by, when I got more spiritual, I thought he was close by. And then when I really learned the deal, he's inside, right? I mean, he's inside. And so I thought, man, when I pray now, I realize he's right there. Well, really, if it's the exchange life as it should be, if Christ is living in me, when I pray, guess what? It is Jesus praying, right? Huh? If our relationship is right, it is the prayer of Christ. That's the one that gets answered, by the way. And then he said, my Father and your Father, my God and your God. Look at the connection, all because of the resurrection. So he appeared to Mary and we learned some things. And then in Luke chapter 24, and I'm going to come back to John there if you're holding your place. I'll be right back in that same chapter in a second. Luke 24, verse 13. I love this story. I usually do it somewhere along Easter, but we had Ron. The Bible says, and behold, two of them, verse 13, Luke 24, 13, and behold, two of them went that same day. Now, this is the same day, the resurrection day, but it's later on in the day, in the afternoon, later on, maybe towards evening. The same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem, about 80 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk or say? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither he went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, and blessed it, and brake, and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? The Emmaus Road. Two men walking back. No doubt, I usually point this out. I think it's true that they were discouraged. They were confused, disappointed at the least about the way things went. Nothing went the way they thought it would go. They were going back to Emmaus. They'd left Jerusalem. They were going to go back. I guess they lived there. They were going to turn in for the night. But suddenly there appeared another one walking with them. And he asked him, he said, what are y'all talking about? And boy, they said, boy, haven't you heard all these things concerning about Jesus? I mean, boy, the word had already started spreading, see? I mean, they knew about the crucifixion, but word had started spreading around. Somebody had seen him. They were talking about that. It was all over the place. And then Jesus starts talking to them, and he goes to the Old Testament scriptures. Now, think about this. He could have talked about anything. He could have started talking about the 3 days and three nights when he was in the grave. He could have talked about all what was going on. He didn't talk about that. He went to the Old Testament and he talked to him concerning the scriptures about his crucifixion, his death, and his burial, and his resurrection. That's what he talked with them about. And these guys, they said, hey, why don't you stay with us? We're going to turn in. We're tired. Why don't you stay with us and eat? We're going to turn in for the night. And he broke bread, and then the Bible says that their eyes were open. And then he vanished from his sight. So what do we learn from all this? Well, one thing we learned that, and it's a little different for us, but that Jesus comes to us incidentally and casually in all walks of life. Now, he's really with us all the time, but we're not always aware of it all the time. And so whereas this, we would look at it like this, there's an awareness of his presence in all walks of life. It could be when you're at work. It could be when you're at play. It could be when you're in a difficulty. It could be when things are going good. It could be at any time. There's no set appointment. Man, he just appeared. And, you know, we have to start thinking along those lines. I think we're too much like the time clock Christianity. We punch in when we get to church and think, hey, man, Jesus is probably going to be there. Maybe we're going to hear. And then we punch out when we go out, and we're thinking we're living a separate life out here in the world that's not our really Christian life. A lot of people, their Christian life just consists of being at church. If that's your Christian life, well, you got a sorry Christian life. I'm going to tell you, you know, and probably don't have a Christian life, honestly. You don't have a Christian life. That's really what it is. It's the same. Today should be just an accumulation of the week of worship that we had with him by ourselves, alone. We're here. And now we come together with everybody else and we can talk about what God's been doing in our life. We're excited about that. And so we need to see that it's not a separate thing. These disciples, we only know the name of one of them, and we don't know nothing else about him. We don't know the name or nothing about the other one. These weren't the big guns. They weren't preachers. They weren't apostles. They were just people that heard Jesus speak at some point in time. They trusted him. They didn't know a thing about him. But Jesus knew him. Jesus knew him. So we see also that Jesus may be with us, and he is, but unrecognized. Kind of goes along with what I already said. But this means that, listen, that Jesus is in the insignificant things in life. I mean, he's with us all the time. Remember now, the Holy Spirit hadn't been given yet, so they didn't have him as a permanent possession, but we do. But we can apply it. And so, insignificant things. It's like we wait till we got a major crisis. Hey, you know what, maybe we ought to pray. You know, somebody's dying. Somebody's got the C word. You know, maybe we should pray. Hey, man, maybe you ought to pray about what you ought to put on in the morning. Maybe you ought to pray about which route you ought to take going down the road. Maybe you ought to pray about that first step you're getting ready to take when you get out of bed in the morning. You know, you might flop over there. I mean, you know, we ought to be communicating with him all the time, man. This is what he's trying to see. His work, though, is not always recognized. It's not always recognized. Or maybe we recognize after the fact, but not during the fact. But he wants us to recognize his presence, even when we can't see or feel his presence. And another thing we see that Christ is always recognized by his word. See what it said there in verse 27. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures. Boy, you know, Jesus, man, he don't get away from the word of God. Listen, man, well, how did he defeat Satan? It is written. Man, now how is he going to open our eyes? In the word, man. This is why your Bible is so important to you. You can't exhaust it. You can't read it enough. You can't, you know, it's in, how's he going to reveal himself to us? In his word. Man, so that's how he's recognized. We have this fellowship the same way. Like I said, a lot of things he could have said, but he talked about the scriptures concerning himself out of the Old Testament. They didn't have the New Testament. We can test every thought, every idea, every prophecy against the word of God. And then God, Jesus, illuminates his word in our hearts. This is everything because of the resurrection. Everything had to do with the resurrection. He manifests himself to us. The revealing of Christ so that they were conscious of his presence, and they could not deny. I don't care what happened from that. Christ ought to be so real in us that we cannot deny him. How do you think people were burned to death, burned at the stake for something fake, for something that wasn't real, something that they couldn't deny? Man, you could have never, nobody was going to convince Mary from that day forth that she didn't see Jesus at the tomb. Nobody was going to convince those Emmaus Road disciples, no matter what they did to them, that they wasn't walking with Jesus, didn't sit down and eat with them. This is how real Christ ought to be to us. It doesn't matter what the world does to us, we cannot deny him. He's because he's real, he's true. It's just every aspect of our life should be revolving around Christ. This is it. This was what it was all about. They didn't think about nothing else. They had this conscience presence, and it was a presence greater than their hearts, a super nearness that we all can experience, a super nearness. Paul on the Damascus Road had that experience with Christ. Paul several times in Acts, including being on a ship in the middle of a storm, had that experience. In 2 Timothy, the Lord stood with Paul and strengthened him. And then his manifest presence is transient. When they recognized him, the Bible said he immediately vanished. Now, have you ever wondered why? Why did he immediately vanish after they recognized who he was? Because if he had remained, it would have had that same effect of the bodily presence of Christ if we thought it would be better off today. It would have thrown them off course in their walk of faith. They had that one glimpse, and that was enough. And, buddy, that lasted their lifetime. I'm guarantee you that right now. And that's how we and they must walk in the future. And then the third little group was back in Acts chapter 20, just down a little farther from where I read just a couple verses. In John 20, verse 19, it said, then the same day, it's the same day, at evening, being the first day of the week when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus unto them, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Verse 23, and then he said, whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. Here, through closed doors, the bodily Jesus came into their midst. And he said, peace be unto you. And then it said he breathed on them and received the Holy Ghost. And he showed them his hands and his side. So what do we learn from those events? Well, number one, that the risen Christ has a physical body. He's got a physical body. He really had a physical body. Remember later with Thomas, he said, go ahead, stick your hand in there. Go ahead, put your hand in, touch me. It's a real body. It's a real body. Every organ was complete. It was real. Actual flesh and blood. Guess what? He's got an actual flesh and blood body today. Huh? Today. Me and Ron Lynch had a big discussion about it. We talked about this. I think he shared it one night if you didn't catch it though. In what form is Jesus today, as a man or God? He's a man. He's sitting as a man with God. He's exalted as a man. Tells us in Philippians chapter 2 that he's God exalted. God doesn't need to exalt God. He exalted Jesus as a man. He got a physical body. Still got the scars. Still got the scars. His spirit never died. His body is a type. It's a pledge. What this means for you and I, this is the pledge, the promise that, guess what? We're going to have a physical body when we're in heaven too. It'll be glorified. It's a glorified body. It's not exactly the same as ours. There's some things about it. Obviously, we can't walk through any doors, although I've tried a few times in my life. Yeah, you can't get through the door. You tried a few times. And it could be converted, though, to a vapor. Now, I don't know if we're going to be able to do that. That's going to be kind of cool. Huh? It can be converted to a vapor. But it's a finer body. It's a body, but it's finer, it's mightier, it's more glorious. It could be converted to a vapor and still have the property of matter. It could become invisible to the eye, to the touch, be transformed again into a solid state. I just hope we can fly. Huh? Always wanted to fly like a bird. These are the facts. This is facts. That's what it says. Bible's been true on every other thing. Everything. It's true. The risen Christ, another thing we learn from this, the risen Christ gives peace. He said, he's the messenger of peace. He gives peace. I would imagine if a body walked through that wall right there and all of a sudden materialized right here on the platform for me, be a good idea for him to give me peace. it would be needed, right? Out the door, right? It would be good. But that's what he does. The peace of God, the peace with God, and the Bible says it passes all understanding. The risen Christ gives power. The Bible says that he breathed on them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Did they receive the Holy Ghost? They did. They received the Holy Ghost, but not in its fullness. That didn't happen until the day of Pentecost. And they received the Holy Ghost. And we always receive the fullness of the Comforter from the lips of Jesus. We always receive that. That's how it happened. This power is only received by faith. Man, they had to believe, right? They believed. And then the risen Christ gives his commission. In verse 21, he said, then said Jesus, peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. There's the commission. What did God's Father send him for? Huh? I mean, you know, that was it. He gives us the same obligation that the Father gave him. He gives his blessing. Listen, everybody wants blessing and blessing and blessing. He gives his blessing not to keep for ourselves. But not to keep to ourselves alone. I mean, we still have the blessing. We don't give the whole thing away. I mean, it's how that works. We have the blessing and we can be a blessing and give the blessing and still have all the blessing we ever had. He sends us with authority. His authority gives us his name and power. That's how he does it. These are all the things. Listen, three appearances of Christ on the resurrection day. He went 40 days and he appeared to those people again several times. There was three calls. There was a call to the individual and Mary, a call to a little company and the Emmaus Road disciples, and then a call to the assembled congregation in the upper room meeting. He emphasized three things: himself, his word, his spirit. He comes as a friend, a teacher, and a master. A lot of threes there, right? 40 days, and then he withdrew himself from the earth. Boy, listen, man, those early apostles, those early disciples, They saw all that. They learned everything we're talking about this morning because they were going to be the foundation of the church. He was going to empower the church on the day of Pentecost. And I mean, man, listen, there was nothing that would convince those people that Jesus wasn't real. And listen, here's the thing. It's not 2,000 years ago. It's just as real today. And boy, when they got in church, man, there was a buzz. Man, they knew that they had a resurrected Savior. See, we ought to know the same thing, that we have a resurrected Savior. It's not any less real to us today than it was to them then. Huh? We ought to be just as excited today as they were then. That's the reality of it. And somebody said this, and I believe it's true. He's going to return. And before we see him in the clouds, we'll be conscious of a nearer presence on earth. And somebody also said, as Nehemiah slipped away from the crowd and went and viewed Jerusalem after its destruction, before he was going to rebuild, he went and walked through the city at night and looked around at everything, and that Jesus is walking around looking at everything on this earth right now. That's something to think about. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, that we could look at these words a little deeper. Didn't exhaust them by any stretch of the imagination, but help us. Help us with the reality of your resurrection, Lord, and your resurrected life in us. I pray for each one of us here that we can see that, live that. You'll be seen by others in us. We'll thank you for that. We pray for the morning service, for the breakfast we're about to have, and we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor. Let's stand together. Hymn 29, At the Cross.